You're listening to The Bob Haney Show, brought to you by Budweiser. The bright color and crisp, clean taste you'll only find in the King of Beers. This is Baltimore's local sports voice. Sports Talk 1570 WNST.
Sports Talk 1570 WNST. What's happening, everybody? Bob Haney Show brought to you by Budweiser. It's 11:31 on this Friday, Baltimore, Maryland. Joining us now, half hour early, but probably going to stay till 1 anyway. Our buddy Todd Helmick from NationalChamps.net. Todd, how are you?
Should I be excited at this time of year?
I would think you're excited. NationalChamps.net, 12 months a year.
TGIF, thank God it's football.
That's right, a week from tomorrow. Season kicks off. No more of those
week,
preseason. Well, when's the first game?
Thursday, September 1st. There's a slew of games on Thursday. Nothing of major importance. Steve Spurrier in his debut on ESPN, but they're playing UCF.
Yeah, but we no longer have that kickoff classic where you usually have two elite teams, this, that, and the other, getting it done. So it's the legitimate start of the season. Maryland and Navy begin on Saturday, September 3rd, down at M&T Bank Stadium. And I know you talked to Paul Johnson a couple of days ago. What did he have to say about the upcoming game against the Terps?
I could sense something in his voice, not so much what
confidence.
He said. The basic question I remember, I did my scouting on Navy before Paul came on the show Monday with Rob Long. And the offense has been moving the ball consistently at practice throughout August there in Annapolis. So I asked him, what are you seeing there? Why is your offense progressing so well? Are they ahead of themselves? Which is usually the opposite this time of year. The defense should be ahead of the offense. And he kind of, I don't know if he got around it in his own mind or if he, what the case was, but Navy has troubles on defense this year. And I think that's a big key for that Maryland game, because for Navy to have a shot against Maryland, and you could say this against any team who is more athletic and has more speed, they're going to have to control the time of possession. 2-1, Navy will on offense with that grind-the-clock triple option. And, again, that's nothing new to say about Navy.
Yeah, but in all fairness to Navy's defense, it's not like Maryland's offense is the 81 Chargers either.
That's true. But I think they give more size. Size is a big key. At the beginning of August, before practice had started in Annapolis, Paul Johnson had said, our biggest guard is 5'11", 249 pounds. They have some bigger guys in there now. I don't know what
he
meant.
Is he a point guard or a football guard?
Exactly, yeah. But like Paul Johnson said, none of these players here at Navy were likely recruited or would have been given a scholarship to Maryland. So, but they deal with that against every program.
No doubt about
it. They go up against at that Maryland level.
But it's going to be an exciting game because you have your interstate rivalry, and I don't know if it probably won't be a long-term thing, of course. But, you know, Maryland-Navy, you know, Navy had a much better season than Maryland did last year, went to a bowl game, won their bowl game, whereas Maryland, you know, they were lucky to win their final game to finish 5-6. But it's Freegan, it's Paul Johnson, two great coaches. And certainly from Maryland, from their standpoint, you have to win this football game. This is a must-win game for Maryland.
It is, because you're facing a team you're favored to beat, you should beat, given the disparity in talent, athleticism on both sides of the ball. You're absolutely correct. This is the last time this game's scheduled. You look at our future schedules at nationalchamps.net, this is the one and only shot. Whether they get it done again over the next 3 years is open to debate, but right now, it's finally come to fruition. Maryland Navy, baby.
Todd Helmick, NationalChamps.net, joining us on the Bob Haney Show, brought to you by Budweiser. So we're expecting Ralph Friedgen at some point.
Imagine that. You think he has something more important to do than come
no,
on a radio show?
Absolutely not. You commit, you show up. That's my point of view. But, yeah, hopefully we'll get Fridge on. But that game, you know, Navy loses, they had two starters on offense or four on defense returning, 15 starters at the very least, gone from that team, including, you know, the quarterback and the fullback, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, just talk about how tough it is, Todd, at a service academy where it appears as though George Welsh would have a good team every now and then, and then he used that as a stepping stone to go to Virginia for years. How tough is it at a service academy to consistently succeed at this level?
Well, let me answer that question with a startling fact. Navy, 10 wins last year. First 10-win season since 1905. How consistent is that? You look at the academies, in particular looking at Navy, again, smaller, undersized guys that wouldn't normally get scholarships to some of the bigger programs like Maryland. It's very difficult to be consistent. However, Paul Johnson has brought a unique system in to compete under those circumstances. It's a triple option based on neutralizing opponent's speed and overall athleticism. And he does a good job of it. People said, well, what about Paul Johnson moving to another program, maybe taking on a BCS team? That system's not going to work, because then all of a sudden you have the talent and speed. Mm-hmm. Triple option doesn't work in that scenario. So he makes a perfect fit for Navy. But in answer to your question, doing it consistently is impossible, because lastly, let me throw out, as Coach Johnson said on the show with me and Rob, he said, we only have two offensive starters back, three on defense. We did a report in our media guide. That is the least amount of returning starters out of any Division 1A program this year. So a huge turnover for Navy as opposed to last year.
Bob Haney Show brought to you by Budweiser. Todd Helmick, NationalChamps.net, is with us. We're expecting Ralph Regan. Ray's laughing. So either Ralph Regan told him a joke or he's not coming on anytime soon. But we'll get to the fridge, trust me. Whether it's downstairs to get a water, we'll get to a fridge before we get out of here with Todd. Let me ask you this. Getting away from Maryland Navy, Bobby Bowden had his own little Sports Century thing on ESPN.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, I haven't seen it either. But you played at Florida State. And I heard one of the, you know, the commercial promos, Bobby Bowden saying, hey, I just, I want people to look at me and see a guy that made his players better men and this, that, and the other thing. And with all due respect, I mean, you weren't the quarterback or you weren't Deion Sanders, but what was your relationship like with him? How much did you deal with him on a personal level? Or were you more in tune with the coach of your particular unit when you played?
Well, you were obviously in tune with the coach of your unit, which was Chuck Amata, actually, when I was there. Mm-hmm. Amata moved to the defensive line. They actually threw me at nose guard a couple times, only going in at 236 pounds. That didn't work. Bobby Bowden made the mistake of telling us at practice one day, my door is always open. You want to come in and talk about problems or just life? I have an open door policy. Wrong! So I'm going in Coach Bowden's office. We're talking about the things... not non-football issues, which was great to be on that personal level. And you know what? He didn't seem to mind. As a matter of fact, he'd be the one doing most of the talking. He'll talk your ear off.
Oh, really?
But his memory is what really caught me. You figure all the places he travels across the country
and
to
many
be recruiting.
People that he deals with.
Small-town USAs. I told him I was from Cumberland, Maryland. He remembered the old football coach there, the principal, names of guys he recruited when he coached at West Virginia. I was floored by it.
Did he remember your name?
Negative.
I mean, he knew you're like a water boy, but did he know your name?
No, I mean, he wasn't up to date on what went on in Cumberland then, but I'm talking in the 70s when he was at West Virginia. He remembered details that I didn't even know. He used to go to Cumberland, do the Elks father and son banquet, be the guest speaker. He remembered all of them.
So
I couldn't believe it.
You didn't look at him as a phony then?
Oh, he's far from being a phony. And the things you read about negative press towards him, people that don't like him, you've never had the chance to sit down and talk with him, I'll guarantee it, on a one-to-one level. But, you know, I was lucky enough at Florida State. There in 86, 87, that's when the golden times started rolling. That's when it all got put into effect. My first year, 86 season, I think we were 7-4 and beat Indiana in the All-American Bowl. Then they went on that string of 10-win seasons and carried through to the end of the 90s. And during that time, I was lucky enough. Mark Richt was there, now at Georgia. Chuck Amata, now the head coach at NC State. Brad Scott, who went on to coach at South Carolina. Mickey Andrews, who's still there as the defensive coordinator. These are all great names, and I was privileged and lucky to be there during that time. And I was not afraid to ask questions.
Sure.
No.
Bob Haney Show brought to you by Budweiser. Todd Helmick, nationalchamps.net, joining us. If you want to get in, give us a call, 410-481-1570. We will talk some college football with you. But with Bowden, we've had him on the program before. And I had this preconceived notion he was going to be arrogant. He was going to be short with me. I was going to be wasting his time because, as you well know, Todd, now that you're in the media, some coaches just come on because they have to. They want to say the company line and get out of here in 5 minutes. But Bowden and John Chaney from Temple were two guys that surprised me more than any others, that when you talk to them, they were totally different from what you expected they would be.
Yeah, you're just reiterating what I just said.
I was like,
people that have negative press or things to say about Bobby Bowden, you haven't sat down one-to-one and talked with him. You're talking about a radio interview. Try sitting down with him off the record, just in his office one day with his feet kicked back. He does the talking, and it's amazing. I mean, what a wonderful man and a wonderful personality. Like I said, very privileged to be there, and I think he'll continue to coach at Florida State as long as his health allows, and he's got a clean bill of health. I could see 4 more years out of Coach Bowden.
And how old is he now?
75, I think. 73, maybe. I don't. Between 70 and 75.
Now, when he does eventually retire or step down or, you know, just go into wherever he's going to go, who replaces him? Is that an in-house move, or does Florida State look to move outside of that?
It depends. Things change between now and 4 years down the road. I can only look at that question as of the next year or two. I would think Chuck Amata at NC State would be a prime candidate for that job, and I wouldn't have a problem with that. Would Bobby push for his son, Jeff Bowden, who's now the offensive coordinator, to take over? I don't think Florida State people would allow that to happen just because Jeff's inexperienced, and then we know about people complaining about his X's and O's right now. I would say Chuck Amata would be first. Other than that, as we saw this past off season, coaching changeover, there were some schools like Notre Dame, luckily to get Charlie Weiss, who got caught up in, now there's 15 openings. Mm-hmm. 15 colleges need new coaches. Now our pickings are slim. Oh, my goodness, what are we going to do? So it depends on change over there and what's available. But I would think Florida State would be a prime spot for any coach to move to just because of the Florida talent they have accessible to.
All right, Bob Haney Show brought to you by Budweiser. Todd Helmick, nationalchamps.net, joining us here on this beautiful Friday, Baltimore, Maryland. Joining us now, head football coach, University of Maryland, Ralph Friedgen. Ralph, what's happening?
Not much. How you doing, Bob?
Doing well. Appreciate you joining us. Todd from nationalchamps.net's here. He's a Florida State guy, coach, so don't worry about that. Hey, Friedgen, let me ask you this. Going into camp, certainly a team that's young and you're trying to figure out spots, but you had a couple of guys that you had penciled in. Who did you irritate this offseason to have the injury football gods rain down on College Park this offseason?
I don't know. I must not be living a good life.
But talk about the rash of injuries that have hit your ball club, and I guess you had a couple more nagging ones come up yesterday.
Well, I think we came out okay yesterday. I think everybody will be back for the game that got nicked up yesterday. The biggest ones is we lost Stephon Heyer, our outstanding senior left tackle for the season with an ACL, and then Aaron Henderson, who was playing very well for us at will linebacker and was on a lot of our special teams. And T.D. Callahan, who was a walk-on, who was a real contributor to our football team. We lost those three guys with knee injuries, and they'll be gone for the season. We've had a lot of injuries. Tim Chase has had mono, and I'm hoping that he'll be cleared on Monday. His spleen is enlarged, and they won't clear him until that goes down. And he's been working out and everything, and I'm hoping that we'll get the okay on that. And he was competing for the starting fullback job. So that has limited us in that capacity. And Josh Wilson, who's been a corner for us, just a freak thing, was covering a punt, and guy slipped and cut him, and he got 16 stitches in his shin. And he's running around and everything right now. We just got to wait for the stitches to be taken out before he's cleared. But I'm hoping all those guys will be back. And yesterday, the worst thing that happened was one of our field goal kickers made a tackle on the kickoff and pulled his quad muscle, so I don't know if he will be ready or not.
Yeah, Obi Ejikeze there.
Hi, Coach. This is Todd Homick from NationalChamps.net. We've heard you mention that junior quarterback Sam Hollenbach has been a bright spot throughout August camp. Can you elaborate more on why, and how do you compare where you are in the quarterback progression as opposed to last year at this time?
I think we're way ahead. The fact that all three of our quarterbacks have got experience now in games. Last year we went into the season without any quarterback having any experience, so they should be better because of that. But, you know, Sam has really been playing very, very well. You know, one of the things that's amazing to me is he's improved his release of the football. And 36 years of coaching, I don't think I've ever changed anybody's release. And Coach Taft had changed it some, and then he worked with one of our baseball coaches over the summer. Ironically enough, they could work with him, we can't. And his release is much quicker right now, and he's throwing the ball very, very accurately. And he's pretty mobile for a big kid. He's like 6'5", 220, and probably running around 4'7 right now.
Ralph Frege joining us, head football coach, University of Maryland. Bob Haney Show brought to you by Budweiser. Todd Helmick, NationalChamps.net, is with us as well. So, Ralph, aside from the change in release with Hollenbach, what was the thing holding him back last year when you were looking to replace Scott McBrien, and you know he was the guy that fell behind Statham and then eventually Jordan Steffi?
Well, I was just thinking back on that, you know, Bob. You know, last year at this time, Sam played in the same scrimmage and really had about four or five guys open that he just missed. I mean, he just overthrew them. And I really think he was putting so much pressure on himself to do well. And, you know, I mean, he was very accurate yesterday. I think he had two or three drops also and threw the ball extremely well. And he's been doing that all camp. And he's just matured as a kid, and he's really worked at being a quarterback. He's worked on reading coverages and looking off receivers. And I just see him growing, and I'm just hoping that he'll play as well as he's practiced, because if he does, I think he'll really gain a lot of confidence and really turn into a very fine quarterback.
Ralph, with Jordan Steffi, the arm and the knee, are these injuries that he's going to have to deal with throughout his career, or are these things that are going to go away eventually?
Well, the knee is there for good. I mean, he has an arthritic knee, and that's going to be there. Although the good news is it hasn't swollen during camp. Has given him a lot less problems in this camp than it did last year, when he just hurt it in the Big 33 game. I'm hoping the arm is going to clear up. He had an operation on it. He did have an impingement on the nerve. They cleared that. He seems to be throwing the ball okay. He doesn't throw the ball as many times as the other quarterbacks just because he's coming off surgery. But I'm hoping that will be healed in time.
Coach, I was lucky enough to play at Florida State under defensive coordinator Mickey Andrews, well, at least on his good days. But I recall talking with him when you were the offensive coordinator at Georgia Tech, in particular during the 98 and 99 seasons. And he just threw fits talking about trying to prepare for your multiple looks. Can you briefly explain what your philosophy is offensively when people refer to your multiple looks?
Well, you know, we believe in, multiple formations and shifts and motions out of them. We haven't done as many of those here at Maryland as we did when we were at Georgia Tech. And, you know, if we have a quarterback that can run the option, I like to run it because I think it makes people play disciplined defense. And, to me, we had to have, going against Florida State, and Mickey does just a tremendous job with their defense, and they're so aggressive, and they play such tough man coverage, and actually, he's going a little bit more zone than he used to. And, you know, he's one of the great college coaches. And it was a great – we never beat him at Georgia Tech. We had a couple of good games offensively, but we never beat him. And, we were fortunate this year to find a way to win. But it's always – they got such a great program, and and Mickey and Coach Bowden, they do such a great job. It's never easy.
Well, you couldn't beat Georgia Tech because Todd Helmick was making it happen, or you couldn't beat Florida State. Todd, the man out there, obviously. Running back, Morgan Green didn't qualify, Josh Allen out for the year. Talk about Keon, Mario Merrills is back, Lance Ball, J.P. Humber. What do you expect to be happening here in the early stages of the year at tailback?
Well, it'll probably be running back by committee. You know, I think Mario might be our fastest back, and I think he presents some things in the running game that has probably done the best, but you know, both Lance and Keon are pretty good in the passing game. They're probably better pass protectors, and they're definitely better catching the ball and running routes out of the backfield. So they all kind of have their place, and probably all of them will play. You know, we just kind of see who's going to get hot, and that guy will probably carry the day.
Coach, in the spring game, we saw you show mostly two tight end sets as opposed to maybe the last fall where we saw more H-back. How is Derek Miller adjusting to the left tackle position, and has his move from tight end changed this mindset of two tight ends?
No, you know, we have a couple of tight ends. Obviously, losing Derek to tackle, you know, diminishes that for us, but, you know, we still have that with the injuries to our fullbacks, you know, both Dickerson and Chaser, you know, that's become a prevalent set for us. And Derek's done a pretty good job just moving in the left tackle. And, you know, to me, that's a tremendous sacrifice for our team. And, you know, he's, you know, 275 pounds. And that's the smallest guy on our offensive line. And you know, does he have everything down perfectly? No, he doesn't. He's probably better than the alternative right now, and I'm hoping a guy like Jared Gaither, who's a true freshman, can come on and, you know, take over that spot, and then we can move Derek back to tight end, or Scott Burley could get well, and we can move him over there also. So I'm hoping it's not for the whole season. But until someone can play left tackle better than Derek Miller, it's his job.
Hey, let's move to the defensive line and talk about Jeremy Navarre, local kid, and he's stepping up. But right now, number one on the depth chart at end. What has he done to impress you so far?
Well, it's kind of, you know, it's a little bit funny. You know, we recruited Jeremy. We thought he'd make a great fullback, and we had him at fullback all spring. And, you know, he's a freshman just coming in and just kind of like a fish out of water a little bit and really had trouble adapting. And then he came in the summer and he said, Coach, you know, he said, I'd like to play defensive end, not fullback. And I said, well, you know, we got quite a few guys over there at defensive end. It's going to be pretty competitive. And he says, I really don't care. And we put him at defensive end, and it was like a fish in water. I mean, he just looked so natural there. And he's an aggressive kid who plays with tremendous amount of enthusiasm and effort. And the first scrimmage he was in, he was, you know, did very, very well. And then in practice, we had trouble blocking him. And, you know, he got dinged up the other day. He's got a nerve in his neck. So we didn't scrimmage him yesterday. We just held him. But he's a tough guy. He wants to play all the time. And I think he's going to be a very, very good football player for us.
Navy, they run the triple option. Most teams on an 11 or 12 game schedule never see it and have a difficult time preparing for it in 6 days. Since this is your opener, have you had a little more time or spent more time preparing for it, and what do you have to do to be successful against the triple option?
Well, we have been preparing for it even since spring practice. I took a period a day the last 10 practices to prepare for, but they do such a great job of running it. I mean, Coach Johnson just does an unbelievable job, and the kids really come off the football. And I worry about whether we can simulate the type of speed that they're going to do to execute it. And it makes you play very disciplined football. You know, you've got to play your responsibilities, and and running the triple option myself, and teams don't see it very often. And, you know, back in the 70s when everybody was running it, people got pretty good at defending it. But when you only see it, like you say, once a year, People forget their responsibility, and all of a sudden you got a big play. And that's my biggest concern, is the speed at which they run it, and also our guys having discipline enough to stay. And you know, you got to put two guys on the dive and probably a guy and a half on the quarterback and one on the pitch. You know, so it's a great offense for the academies, and excuse me, and I think it's a great offense anyway. I love the triple option, and you know, I just think it makes you play one-on-one football, and you just can't fly to the football.
Ralph Regent joining us, head football coach, University of Maryland, here on the Bob Haney Show, brought to you by Budweiser. Todd Helmick with us as well. Coach, last thing for you real quick. With recruiting, you can't talk about the 06 class, but you have a couple of top 100 guys, five-star, four-star, whatever the case may be. Talk about recruiting and how it's picked up for you guys, where you're getting athletes now that wouldn't have given Maryland a second look, say, two, three, four seasons ago.
Well, I honestly can say this, Bob, that the class we just brought in, I've been very, very impressed with it. You know, always there's a guy or two you're a little suspect when they get here. And I think all these kids we got in this class will be football players for us, and that's pretty good when you can say that. Just extremely impressed with our, you know, in the scrimmages. You know, we had two freshmen score touchdowns yesterday for us, and I'm just trying to find out where I can get them on the field. The problem is they're backing up redshirt freshmen.
Yeah,
I got like 58 kids that are either 3 or 4 year players, redshirt or not, and it's a very, very young football team, but there's a lot of talent there, and it's just a matter of how well they can mature.
Ralph Regent, football coach, University of Maryland. Coach, we appreciate your time. For all of your college football needs, by the way, Ralph, go to nationalchamps.net, and Todd Helmick will make it happen for you. Our buddy, good luck against Navy, and I'm sure we'll talk to you down the road.
Yeah, thank you, Bob.
All right, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Ralph Regent, what do you think there, Todd?
He's candid. He speaks his mind a little more. I sense Coach Johnson, and I've got the utmost respect for Coach Johnson at Navy and what he does. A little more political in his answers, and nothing wrong with that, because I'd say 95% of the coaches will give you that political answer. What an honor to have him on. I think that's the first time I've interviewed with Coach Friedgen here to NST making it happen.
Yeah, well, you made it happen. Sports Talk 1570 WNST, Bob Haney Show, brought to you by Budweiser. What's happening, everybody? Todd Helmick, nationalchamps.net, is with us. We are less than a week away from the start of the collegiate football season. Todd is here. We're going to talk about your favorite team if you want to get in at 410-481-1570. We also have the moon coming up with the nasty one, Nestor Aparicio, so stay tuned for that. But, Todd, what are we going to talk about over the next 45 minutes here?
Well, nationalchamps.net just released a nice article written by yours truly called The Quarterback Race 2005. These are some of the tightest quarterback races we've seen through August. Some of them haven't even named the exact starter, and we're a week away from, or less than a week away from, getting things underway. Who will be the starter on opening day? Oklahoma just named their starter. That was the tightest battle of all. Who replaces 2003 Heisman winner Jason White? And also LSU, a team myself and Pete Futak, when he was on last week for College Football News, said LSU a shot at a run for the title, the national title. Who's their quarterback? They got three guys. Plus the Unitas Award.
Mm-hmm.
Being released, candidates to win the Johnny Unitas Award. That has to be a senior quarterback, top senior quarterback. So we'll talk some quarterback issues, and hopefully we'll talk about Navy, obviously, a little bit, and also maybe talk about our strength of schedule we just released at nationalchamps.net, as used on ESPN.com. We're proud of that one. So we'll tell you who's got the easiest road to a possible national championship race.
All right, so college football fans, now's the time to get in. 410-481-1570. Bob Haney, Todd Helmick, we'll be back after this.
Bruce Cunningham's Ravens Football Show. Saturdays from 11 to 1. Brought to you by K-Bank on Baltimore's local sports voice. Sports Talk 1570 WNST.
Sports Talk 1570 WNST, Bob Haney Show, brought to you by Budweiser. What's happening, everybody? Todd Helmick, NationalChamps.net, is with us, as he is every Friday. It's been an eventful hour. Ralph Regan joined us, if you missed it. Sorry about that. You can always hear the replay of every Todd Helmick segment on NationalChamps.net, correct?
Yeah, we archive, record it, archive it, put it on NationalChamps.net, streaming audio. So you can hear most every Friday. We'll have the recording up by Monday.
How many radio shows do you do a week?
During the season, 12. It's probably going to go up this year, but I can be a little more picky. It's not.
You're big time now, huh?
Well, I wouldn't go that far. I just enjoy it so much. Just talk. It's like I'm talking to you and we're having a beer, you know, down at the pub. No different. I'm getting ready. Hey, I'll be at the Navy-Maryland game, 6 o'clock kickoff. By the way, Maryland has announced that game is sold out. However, Ticketmaster online or calling, phoning in, I don't have the number, they have nice seats available. They're mostly club level, which is the $65, the higher price ticket,
right,
like around 10-20 yard lines. And they also have a lot of upper deck in the end zone. So I don't know what sold out, actually, quote unquote, sold out, what that entails. But they're call Ticketmaster.
Yeah, so you if you want to go to the game, whether you're a Maryland or a Navy fan, or you're just a fan of college football, there are tickets available just by going through Ticketmaster. Todd Helmick with us, Bob Haney Show, brought to you by Budweiser. And before we went away for a little bit there, Todd, talking about quarterback races. And teams finally, as a week away from the start of the season, you know, teams finally settling on their job. Ralph Regan, for instance, made it clear beyond no shadow of a doubt, Sam Hollenbeck is his quarterback. No battles, no this, that, and the other. But some of the other elite teams, especially near the top of the top 15-25, still looking for that guy to replace starters or whatever the case may be. And talk about some of the battles we've seen so far in regards to teams looking for the quarterback of their teams.
I think that the three hottest races right now would be Florida State, Oklahoma, and LSU. At Florida State, we all know Wyatt Sexton, last year's starter, diagnosed with Lyme disease, not playing this year. Two redshirt freshmen, Xavier Lee and Drew Weatherford, have been battling all through the spring, and now into August, it's still carrying on. To quote Bobby Bowden, 1 week it might be this guy, the next week the next guy. I don't know if it'll end up like this, but it could, and I'm telling you it will. Florida State may not want a dueling quarterback issue, but guess what? They've got it.
Mm-hmm.
So look for both to play all season unless one of them finally hits a groove. There's a difference between the two. Drew Weatherford is a drop-back passer, highly touted out of Florida. Xavier Lee's more dual threat, a little quicker with the feet, can move. Xavier Lee, for those that don't know, still holds the all-time Florida high school passing records in yards, completions, and touchdowns. A Mr. Florida football, he has the accolades. I'm going to tell you right now, Drew Weatherford is starting versus Miami Monday of Labor Day coming up. He's kind of nudged him out the past week because Xavier Lee's had a sore shoulder, throwing shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
He should be back in full health by Monday, but that's how he got the nod, and that's the only reason I can think of. Unless something changes, we're going to see both of them playing all year. Again, Weatherford starts versus Miami. Lee comes in before the first quarter even ends.
Now, if you look at Florida State over the last few years, Chris Ricks and his inconsistency at that position may have hurt the Seminoles in regards to making a run for the national championship. Are they good enough this year that if they get one of the two young kids to step in and be a quality player, that they could challenge once again for the ACC title and maybe get to a national championship game status? Or is that too much to ask for right now?
Oh, they'll challenge for the ACC Atlantic Division. I say Boston College, NC State, Florida State, one of those three is likely to emerge as the Atlantic Division winner. Then you get in the ACC championship game, anything can happen. National title, no way. I'm going to say right now, Florida State ends up with a four-loss campaign. If things don't go their way, dare I say five losses? I don't see that. I'm thinking more 8-3, possible 7-4. Opening Miami, I just can't see them winning that with a redshirt freshman at quarterback.
Now, is this a four-loss campaign with enough talent that next year they move back into the top five? Or is this a four-loss campaign showing that maybe they're on the downside of what's happening there?
Well, just look at recruiting. Bobby Bowden's had top three classes come in. I know that doesn't surmount to a hill of beans once a ball snapped. They have talent. It's young this year. Their defense linebacker is deeper than anyone I know. But I wanted to move to the next team as we're on this quarterbacks. Oklahoma, who replaces Jason White, the 2003 Heisman winner? I think this race was every bit as tight as Florida State. It's two guys, junior Paul Thompson, who's been biding his time behind Nate Hibble even when he was there. Took Oklahoma to Rose Bowl. He rode the Pine. Then when Jason White decided to come back for a sixth year last year, he redshirted so he could still have two more years of eligibility. But he's been pushed by a redshirt freshman named Rhett Bomar, a Texas native. He came in with Adrian Peterson's class, actually, and was the number two rated prospect in the country behind Peterson. They made an announcement this morning. They're going with Thompson because of the experience, but it's been real tight. So I think you're going to get a two-quarterback system there in Norman under Bob Stoops, and that's the first time we've seen that since Stoops has taken over. So interesting there with the Sooners. They got a nice, some nice opener coming up here the second or third week with UCLA.
Now, that with Adrian Peterson, though, will they still be predominantly a running football team, the Sooners?
No, I think
maybe not back to the wishbone of Barry Switzer or whatever, but still more run-oriented.
You're going to see defenses stuff the box to try to contain or slow down Adrian Peterson. I think that's a given. So the quarterback, here's the difference. Paul Thompson, who was named a starter, likes to throw the short, safe passes to move the yardsticks, whereas Rhett Bomar, the other guy, he goes deep. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to have to go deep to open up these teams stuffing the box to try and stop Adrian Peterson. So there you go.
Bob Haney Show brought to you by Budweiser. Todd Helmick, nationalchamps.net's with us as well here on Sports Talk 1570 WNST. Now let's go to LSU, a team that you originally had going to the championship game. You've changed since then going to Michigan. Have you changed your mind this week?
No.
The season hasn't started yet.
Michigan was the only change I made, and that's
it. Okay. All right. I'm just making sure that you're solid with that selection. But needless to say, LSU, extremely talented football team. What's the quarterback situation like right there?
Well, this actually has been a three-man race. Jamarcus Russell, who most felt would be the starter. A guy named Matt Flynn, nobody has heard about, has been producing. They brought in a true freshman named Ryan Perilou out of Texas, the number one recruit in the nation at any position by most publications. Perilou vowed he was going to come in this spring and win the starting job. Coach Les Miles, the new coach at LSU, has been so tight-lipped about naming a starter. He said this week he would not name his starter until Thursday of this week before his opener. I don't think it's been that tight, though.
Can Perilou start as a true freshman?
I don't think he could because they put him under the microscope.
At least early,
I would say. What I've been hearing, he has the typical freshman issues, a little rusty with his mechanics, his pass is too high, and he's still in that learning phase to gather in the college schemes coming out of high school. That's difficult. I'm going to tell you now, Jamarcus Russell will start versus North Texas in the opener this coming week, but the game will be over by halftime, and then you're going to see Flynn and Perilou both get a lot of time in the second half. Les Miles trying to keep the media from telling people who his starter is. If he's listening to this show, Les Miles,
yeah,
he's
your sure
starter.
Is.
Jamarcus Russell, a Mr. Alabama football 2002 out of high school. He's been put in a great position with the surrounding talent. And like I said, all the talent at LSU, it's NFL talent. He's been given the keys to the race car. That's the key for them.
Earlier this week, the Unitas Award nominees were released. And explain the Unitas Award award to everybody.
The Johnny Unitas Award goes out to the top senior quarterback. Key word there being senior. You must be a senior on your roster.
So some of the guys, and first and foremost, Matt Leinart at USC.
Really? Matt Leinart's on that list? He's on every list. The favorite to win the Heisman, the favorite for an All-American first team, the favorite to win the Unitas,
going to be the number one pick in the draft next year, whatever the case may be. So, all right, Matt Leinart, we've talked about him. What about Texas A&M's Reggie McNeil?
It's interesting because there he is in the Big 12 South with Texas, the quarterback Vince Young there, who after his Rose Bowl superb game last year when they beat Michigan really elevated his status above Reggie McNeil in most people's eyes. But I'm telling you now, Reggie McNeil at Texas A&M is faster than Vince Young and his wheels that we saw in that Rose Bowl game. And he has three times a better arm than does Vince Young. And that is the reason Texas A&M has moved into the top 20 with all the polls that are out now. They get the opener versus Clemson in Death Valley Saturday night, 8 o'clock, Labor Day weekend, coming right up. I look for them to pound on Clemson. For you people out there liking to look at point spreads, I like them to pound on Clemson like they did last
year. Well, speaking of Clemson, their quarterback, Charlie Whitehurst, is one of the nominees as well. Disappointing junior year? Is that a fair assessment?
It is, because you look back to his freshman and sophomore years, the numbers he was putting up, he's almost like Terrence Morris at Maryland when he played basketball here. Great freshman and sophomore year, all the hype built around, and then got worse statistically, at least.
Or just kind of leveled out, maybe. Yeah, didn't really get that much better. But Whitehurst had the interceptions, touchdown, the ratio wasn't very good, was it?
Last year he struggled, and so Clemson struggled. But a lot of that has to do with they have no running game. They're soft on the offensive line and defensive line. If Tommy Bowden doesn't learn to get the running game going, teams are just sitting back in nickel defenses on first and 10 a lot of times. No respect against the Clemson run.
Running down some other names at Georgia, DJ Shockley, young man talking about transferring out of Georgia a couple years back, rode the pine behind David Green. I mean, is this list, they're just looking for 22 senior quarterbacks. Why is DJ Shockley on this list?
He's a senior and he's at Georgia. He's trying to replace David Green. And you know what? Anytime he's come and tried to fill in for David Green during the regular season, he's failed miserably. 2 years ago, Georgia was playing in a game versus Florida. They never have beaten Florida in like 5 years up to that point. David Green's in the game the whole time. They have the lead over Florida late in the third quarter. They bring in DJ Shockley for two series. They do that a lot with him because he was so highly touted as a recruit. They wanted to get him some exposure under a pressure situation. He comes in versus Florida, interception for a touchdown. Florida won that game. So that didn't work out, that David Green, DJ Shockley rotation. But the senior at Georgia, fast kid, he's got some wheels. He's going to be a different quarterback than what David Green offered. He's the key to me. There's Georgia coming in like 12th, 13th, 14th in the polls. That's a little low for Mark Richt, considering they have a good amount of starters coming back. I think the key, again, that's because Shockley, everyone's in a wait and see, but, man, he's got an offensive line in front of him.
Go back to the ACC in regards to quarterbacks here. Marcus Hagans at Virginia and Quentin Porter at Boston College.
How do you take Boston College and Quentin Porter? I don't see that at all. He's been too inconsistent. He didn't even play him last year. Again, I think Unitas is maybe short on seniors.
That's what I'm thinking.
All you got to do is be a senior quarterback. I'm sorry, BC. He doesn't belong in that list. BC's loaded. I've predicted Boston College will win the Atlantic Division.
That is correct.
Surprise, surprise. But that's because the Atlantic Division winner in the ACC comes out with two conference losses. So they have a shot. Lots of talent. Quarterback's not one of them. I don't know how he made it.
What about Hagans?
Marcus Hagans at Virginia. He's got some wheels on him. We'll give him that. And he's not that bad, but he's far from being a great quarterback. I'd say an issue with him, though, he has no receivers. He didn't have them last year. This year, Derek Miller skipped out early in the NFL, now with the Steelers. He's got receiver issue problems. If Wally Lunny, the running back, doesn't get it over 1,000 yards, Hagans is going to struggle. Mark it down.
It's a lot of other names on here that we've heard of, some we haven't heard of. Brad Olsen at UCLA, Drew Olsen at UCLA, Brad Smith, Missouri. What about Penn State? And, God, we've talked about Joe Paterno maybe more than we've talked about Ralph Friedgen in the offseason, but he's going with Michael Robinson. Is that a good or bad move for him?
Well, that was
who's on the list.
We just talked about our quarterback race. That was one of the teams I put in there. It was a battle as Zach Mills left. Anthony Morelli comes in from Pittsburgh area, part of that Pennsylvania quarterback shuffle a few years ago where Chad Henne dissed Joe Paterno at the last minute and went to Michigan. So then Anthony Morelli dissed Pitt and came over to play for Jopa there in Happy Valley. So Morelli brings in all these credentials. And in the spring, they named Michael Robinson, the senior, the starter. Guess what? He's still the starter.
Yeah.
That tells me Anthony Morelli isn't what the hype made him out to be. Sorry there, Penn State fans. But according to Joe Paul, I'll give you his quote on our article we put. Right now, Morelli's behind Michael Robinson, but he can't be satisfied with that decision because there's going to be a lot of times when Morelli's going to be in there. But the thing about Michael Robinson, there's a kid last 2 years playing running back, quarterback, receiver, punt returner. This is the first season in his career that he's only been able, only had to focus on one position, and I think he may hold on to that for a while, but I question his throwing arm.
Bob Haney Show brought to you by Budweiser. Todd Helmick, NationalChamps.net, is joining us. Let's talk some other college football news this week. This Harris poll. And 114 voters here are going to help to replace the AP, I guess.
I should have applied for that job.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm looking at Lou Holtz is gone, DiNardo's gone, John Congemi, was he a wide receiver with what's his name? Dan Marino way back when at Pitt.
ESPN Regional News.
So why are those guys being forced out of a voting process here?
ESPN forced them to pull out
because
of
they're bailing out of the
for the same reason they bailed out of being a sponsor on the coaches poll. ESPN's reasoning was they didn't like the fact that coaches weren't putting their names on their votes. It's anonymous with the coaches poll. That was sure. One of the things they didn't like. But their big reason, I think, was the old journalistic integrity. They don't want to have their announcers having a say in who gets to a BCS championship race, a little conflict of interest there. I would think you'd want it to get more, gosh, this guy's a voter. Let's listen to what he has to say.
But what about other guys like Boomer Esiason and Terry Bradshaw? And by no means am I trying to take away from their knowledge of the college football landscape, but they're in NFL mode. I mean, they're preparing for their shows. They're getting ready for the upcoming games of the weekend in the National Football League. Yeah. So, I mean, what would be the best way to do it? I mean, I would think the AP, you have writers that follow the sport on a daily basis. How do you pick 114 guys that are going to help decide the two teams that are going to play for the national championship?
The NCAA thumbs down again. Man, the last 6 months, they keep getting my thumbs down at the NCAA. I see what they're doing with the poll. You knew it would be a board of people voting, basically. But some of the people they picked, because I saw one guy was the son-in-law of a head coach.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to say this, but I don't
know. And he got booted out, too, by the way.
You know as I do, Terry Bradshaw, Boomer Esiason, who am I to be compared with those names? But you set Terry Bradshaw right here beside of me and grill us on questions, and I'll guarantee it, he doesn't know the answer to half of them. And that's not a knock on him. It's just that he spends all his time focusing on the NFL.
Exactly.
And that, again, not a knock on him. It's just, hey, if I was out studying Maryland basketball, I'm not going to know as much as the guy studying Maryland football. I got to disagree with so many of those picks. I think those guys were brought in to give a little more publicity towards the poll itself. Bad move, because they're not taking it serious if that's the case.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. We're talking about the formula that decides who plays for the championship of this sport. Shouldn't it be someone, whether it's, I don't know, anybody else?
Look at the absurdity besides
Bradshaw. I mean, Esiason could sit here and tell you all about Maryland football, I'm sure, as well as anyone. But he's not going to tell you what's happening at Boise State, I would think.
Look at the absurdity. Think about that. The absurdity of the coaches' poll. If Ralph Friedgen had a vote in the coaches' poll, how many games do you think he's watching on Saturday? Nada.
Right.
And
the game film he's watching is for his opponent the next
exactly.
week.
Exactly. Then they don't even put their names on them anymore for the coaches. I mean, again, not knocking the coaches, but they have other things to concentrate on. The last thing on their mind is watching Boise State play Georgia this Saturday at 5:30 when Friedgen's kicking off at 6 o'clock. Where do they get their info? Oh, actually, most of them will defer their pick. The coaches will defer their polls over to the athletic director or somebody like that. Maybe that's why they won't put their name on it, because it's not their name.
Exactly. And I've heard that's been going on for a long time.
That's why the AP. I put more weight into the AP poll.
Todd Helmick, Bob Haney, talking some college football with you. Final few minutes if you want to get in. It's 410-481-1570. Todd from NationalChamps.net. Hang tight. We'll be back to wrap it up after this.
WNST.
Bob Haney Show, Todd Helmick is with us talking some college football as the season begins on Thursday. Now, next Friday, Mark Mangus will be with us. And yeah, to break down a little more Maryland Navy, of course, get into the college football games over the Labor Day weekend. But let's talk about some sleeper teams once again. And we've talked about the favorites and the conferences and this, that, and the other. Let's get some true sleeper teams from you. I know you've been beating Louisville's drum for a while.
This is not in terms of a national championship, right? Just teams that could have a one or two or three loss season we don't see. I like to bring this up because ACC has a group of them for me. Watch out for NC State this year. Their defense is loaded. And to be honest with you, last year, their quarterback position held them back. Jay Davis struggled, had four interceptions one game, three interceptions in two others. So Marcus Stone, the freshman, had to come in relief on a few occasions. Jay Davis is a new quarterback, just like Sam Hollenbach we discussed with Coach Friedgen earlier.
Mm-hmm.
He's a leader. He's gotten much better. They got a huge defensive line and a great defense. NC State versus Virginia Tech in Raleigh, Sunday night, Labor Day. Mark that down. That's a good one. The only team that beat Virginia Tech in conference. My biggest sleeper, I think, is Wake Forest, a team the media picked to finish dead last in the ACC Atlantic. He's got 10 starters back on offense, does Jim Grobe, the head coach, 9 back on defense. From a team that beat Boston College last year, a few other teams, should have beat a few others. That system he runs down there, Jim Grobe, crazy misdirection running attack. You give him 10 guys returning as talented as what they have, and he's going to make some noise. Mark it down. Wake Forest is going to beat somebody. And also watch out for running back Chris Barclay at Wake Forest, a 1,000-yard rusher last year. He'll do it again this year. And lastly, you hometown people,
mm-hmm,
dare I say Maryland gets off to a 4-1 start?
Dare you say it?
First, I'm going to say it right now. Maryland gets off to a 4-1 start and then crumbles when the competition comes running. And the competition's not bad to start out, per se, but you see as they wrap up the season, they get the Florida States, they get the Virginia Techs, they get the Boston College, NC State. Again, to reiterate Maryland's schedule, Navy, Clemson, West Virginia, all at home, basically.